So the interface is called a remote rig. The word remote and the word rig. It's about $500. And then to get it to talk to T-Mobile, I had to get a PEP link by PEP Waves. It's a data interface box. And I found that on eBay for $120. That seems to be what they're going for on eBay. So I've got two of them. One is a spare. And then the Kenwood TS-480 radio. You can do it to... There's an ICOM, there's a Yaesu, you can do it to the Alinco, but of all of them, they say the Kenwood's the easiest, and I guess Alinco's number two. Over.
Oh, okay, Roger, the PEP Wave, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure exactly they show me different interfaces, it's unreal. But yeah, good deal. I'm glad you got everything working, it sounds good.
That was my next question. You're giving me about 20 over here in Ohio. I just got done talking on another frequency to Minnesota, and they were 30 over. So I'm only pushing 200 watts out of the this device compared to my home. So how's my signal, over?
Well, okay, I was hearing, I think I'm hearing Jim in there. Stand by, Jim, if that was you. You're pushing almost 20 over down here, and I'm running the stock 100.
Okay, well, I just looked at my scale. You're 30 over here in Akron, so you're doing well. I'll let you go and start gathering up some people, over.
Okay, yeah, Roger, Roger. Yeah, I'm kind of down under the weather a little bit. I exerted myself a little too much today, I should say. I will see if Jim's in there. Let me turn this radio down behind me here. I'll see if I can pick up Jim, if that was him. All right, Bob, thanks, sir, and I'll get back with you here in just a second. KG4ZXE, clear K8JLY. K8INE, was that you, Mr. Jim? Okay, very low in the noise level, very low. If that was you, just give me a Roger, Roger. I'm not making it out. The individual on the frequency, I'm not pulling you out. You're too far down in the noise. Anyone else on the frequency?
N4MIC.
N4 station, give me that again.
November 4, Mike Indy Charlie.
Mike Indy Charlie. Okay, MIC. Alright, name and location, because I'm starting a new list, so if I had you on a prior list, I do apologize.
I'm in Jasper, Georgia, and I just thought you wanted someone. I didn't know you was calling in.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, we take in, check in from anybody regardless. Jasper, Georgia. Good golly. Man, I remember that place. Has that place even built up any since when I was down there, which was the early 90s?
We've got 32,000.
So it hasn't grown that much.
I started a church here in 96,
and at that time it was like 20,000, and it was going to be the next bedroom county of Georgia, of Atlanta, but that never happened. Still around 30,000.
Hey, Roger, what's the name down there?
The name is Ron, Romeo Oscar November, and the call is N4MIC, and I didn't get your call or anything.
Okay, not a problem. It's Kilo Golf 4. Zulu X-Ray Charlie, and my name is Jesse. Nice meeting you there, Mr. Ron, and I was stationed in Fort Stewart, Georgia there in Hinesville many, many moons back, serving the country, of course, and amazing because I used to go down to Jasper just to kill some time.
Now, you're talking about the city of Jasper, which is northeast Georgia, in the mountains?
No, I'm referring to the one down the coastline almost. I'm trying to remember the exact highway it used to run down there. It's south of Savannah, going south. I'm trying to remember that highway down there.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Jessup, Georgia.
Ah, is that Jessup? Yeah, that's right. I stand corrected. Sorry about that. Jasper. Yeah, Jasper is in the hills. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. But you know what I'm talking about there, Roger.
Roger. And I don't think they've grown in.
Yeah, it's a little small hole in the wall. Wasn't very much down there. Yeah, between that and spending some time down at Tybee Island, down in the edge of Savannah there, that used to be my old cropping grounds for many years.
All right, Roger. Well, I'm going to pull the plug, but I appreciate you, the Q-Face, and that other station that was, forget where he was 20 over on me as well.
Have a good evening, then, for you, my
okay, Roger. Well, I'm up here in the northwest side of Pennsylvania, just so you know where I'm at. And Bob, J-O-Y, K-A-J-O-Y, is up there up toward Akron, Ohio. Roger.
Roger. And didn't keep Akron. I've been there. Cold. Take care.
Yeah, it gets snowy here, too, winter times. All right, same to you there, Mr. Ron. Nice meeting you. All right, clear with Mr. Ron, N4, MIC, same to you. God bless you, sir. Hi, this is KG4ZXC. Anyone else on the frequency? We're getting ready to start the Liberty Net here in about 9 minutes, so anyone out there that would like to check in, call now. Okay, I'm not hearing anybody at this time, so Bob, make a few transmissions there while I look for something.
All righty. I was going to ask the gentleman from Georgia what the weather is like since that hurricane is just spinning wildly down there. It's only moving at like 3 miles an hour. I guess it went down to a level one. It, of course, made land at 7 o'clock this morning, so... The rain that it's dumping is amazing, but we won't see any. You probably won't see any, but Larry's going to see some of that rain, over.
Yeah, Roger that. Yeah, hang on. Oh, sorry about that. My wife was trying to check out the webpage I was on there, trying to get some info. Yeah, Larry's going to get hammered. We're already starting to see some clouds moving in from all this craziness.
Have you noticed your sky? The sun is out, bright, but the sky's not blue. It's kind of a grayish white from the smoke from California. Our weather people are talking about it, but it's doing some weird things to radio. The VHF and UHF repeaters that are local, when they're down, when they're not transmitting a signal, I'm hearing from Akron, I'm hearing the one in Toledo on the VHF side, so that's about 102 miles. And then I'm hearing one in Somerset, Pennsylvania, on my frequency. Damn, that's got to be at least 100 miles or more to Somerset, over.
From Akron, I would think that's way over 100 by the crow flies, because Somerset is almost almost pushing 70 miles from me.
Well, let's see. It was 97 miles from the state line to you, and it was about 40-some miles from my place to the state line, so right there is 130 plus Somerset. And I mean, the signal's only half scale, but I can QSO with them on the Somerset repeater, over.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, I noticed there's been a lot of activity from the repeaters far away. I'm hitting a lot more of them as well. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it's been very interesting the last couple of days. Me and Bill talking, and 1 minute the repeater, we were hitting a repeater excellent. Then again, it would drop out completely.
Well, I was trying to find this radio setup that I did. It'll do 6 meter. So I was trying to find a 6 meter repeater, like in Youngstown, Trumbull County, or maybe just over the border, like to Mercer, PA, or something. I haven't found one that I can hit, because I was wondering if you did 6 meters, over.
Yeah, I got 6 meter capability. I just haven't. I haven't played around with it lately.
Well, it's got some pretty good coverage, so I was looking for a 6 meter that might be right across the border. That'd be like halfway between our two QCHs. But so that's what I've been playing with on this this mobile remote gizmo that I put together. It's been kind of a challenge. I had to get a computer guru because the IP address was dynamic and it had to be static. And that took some talking to T-Mobile to get them to understand. Over.
Oh, yeah. It can get a little complicated, that's for sure. I noticed that myself. Oh, by the way, I was going to ask you, are you going to hang on to the other 480?
Yeah, I think I'm going to play with that in the car. That 480 is pristine, and it's only 100 watts, but it's got a built-in tuner. So, and that way I have a total of 3 control heads. The one that came with the brand new one, the one that came with the older one, and then I bought a 3rd control head online. The guy said he bought it because he lost his, and then he sold the radio. So I've got antennas for the HF frequencies for the Cadillac that go on the back of the trailer hitch, over.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. Yeah, I was actually considering finding one of them rigs myself before you even mentioned about, you know, turning it on to a leak system there.
I found them on, what is it, QRZ? And there was still a couple more. So they're out there. People are selling them. And generally, people take care of this stuff. I mean, it's, you know, you spend that kind of money for a radio, you don't find them too abused. So and I want to say it was QRZ. Is that, I think that's the website I was looking at.
Yeah, it's QRZ. And QTH also has a classified listing also.
Well, brand new, they're about a $1,500 radio, I think $1,450. I paid $700 for one of them plus shipping, and $7.25 for the other one plus shipping.
Yeah, they're decent radios. Yeah, they discontinued them, and I hate that because personally I think it was one of the better rigs out there.
Well, they didn't put anything on the market to replace it, so I don't know what they're doing, but I'm a Kenwood fan. My base station's a 570, but it's a nice radio. The control head has everything that the base station has. So I again, I'm a Kenwood buff. I've had a few Icons, I've had a few Yaesus, and I have one Elinco. I have an Elinco base that's in a Go box. But I really like Kenwood because the way you program and save stuff is always the same in all of their radios.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much part of the factor that I enjoy about Kenwoods as well. I still have my dad's old Kenwood, which is archaic, one of the first model transistors.
Is it an HF, a TS-120, one of the original ones?
It's the next one up, TS-130SE.
Wow, my original radio was a TS-120, no squelch, but it was a nice talker, only 100 watts, but it did well. Then I went to TS-480, and then the last one I bought was the TS-570, and that's what I use as a base station.
Hey, good deal. All right, give me a second and let me tune up real quick.
Get up.
Okay, now I'm tuned up. Anyway, all right, this is KG4ZXC with K8JOY, and this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net, ladies and gentlemen. We got about 1 minute till, and we'll go ahead and start. Who was the other station that was getting ready to check in? Go ahead and give me a call. Well, I heard something anyway. Maybe not. Hey, anyway, Bob, yep, let's see, I'll keep it right there. Everything looks good. How am I coming in?
Well, now you're almost 40 over in Ohio, over.
Oh, dear. Well, good deal. All right, this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net, and this is KG4ZXC, and my name is Jesse here in the Northwest Pennsylvania in the Alleghenies. And this is Wednesday Night Liberty Net on 9/16/2020. All right, taking check-ins. Anyone out there would like to join us? Your call sign, please.
Surprise, I can see it in your eyes. N4ROQ.
N4ROQ. Good afternoon, Mr. Larry. Sounding good up here tonight. How are you doing?
Doing good. The band seems a little cleaner right now, knock on wood. Didn't find no rain. I was in the other room there, had it turned up, no rain. We might get a little bit of rain tonight, the weather forecasters have, but it may not get much. We really don't need a whole lot. This rained pretty hard here not too long ago.
Yeah, roger that. Well, I hope you don't hit a lot of any of it, but that storm seems to be drenching everybody, so I keep them guys in my prayers because I know they need it.
All right. Well, you sound good, you and Bob both. So let me work on my articles here, and I'll be, hopefully I'll be ready here. Thank you, Ben, for all of you.
Hey, roger. All right, clear with Mr. Larry and 4ROQ. And this is Wednesday Night Liberty Net calling CQ. Anyone else would like to check in to the Wednesday Night Liberty Net, a current event discussion net of whatever nature you wanted to make it, but mainly anything of news that no news media outlet will report. So anyone out there that would like to check in, you call them, please.
KO4FE.
Okay, got you, Bill. Who was the other station?
That was K4HXY. Checking in.
K4HY?
K4HXY. Kilo Club Hotel X-Ray Yankee.
Oh, okay. Hotel X-Ray Yankee. Name and location. I'm starting a new list. So I do apologize because I remember your call from before.
Name here is Jim. Name here is Jim. Location is Deland, Florida, which is about 40 miles north of Orlando. So back to you, pretty much. I have a friend here, KN4RLO. I just want you to know that you have a lot of good admirers in the state of Florida. We enjoy listening to the Liberty Net. So we'll be listening in the listening mode here. Go ahead, back to Net. This is K4HXY listening.
Okay, thanks there, Tim, and good to have you aboard, sir. KO4FE, stand by a second, Bill. I'm trying to find another ink pen. This one here is deciding it wants to go south on me. Okay, K4HXY, thanks there, Tim. Good to know you guys down in Florida can hear us, so that's great to know. Hey, let's see, you're going to be like number three on the list there, Tim. KO4FE, Mr. Bill, good evening, sir.
Yeah, KG4ZXC from KO4FE. Yeah, how's it going, Jesse? I've been, listen to that Ford City repeater. It seems to be coming in real good. I talked to Marty yesterday, tried to light a fire under him, get him on 2 meters. But we'll have to see how that goes. I guess his medical issues are kind of putting a crimp on his ability to get antennas up, but we'll see what happens. But anyway, that repeater seems to be working pretty good, and our testing, I think, proved that we at least got communication between you and I. I don't know who else on the net would be able to hit that repeater, but it's hard to find one that we can both get. So anyway, back to you, Jesse, KG4ZXC. And the Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Okay, roger, roger, Bill. Yeah, I'm going to get with you guys later. I'm working on a dual element. It's two 440 beams that I'm rebuilding now. And hopefully me and Bob will be able to make contact as well here. All right, KO4FE, got you in there. Thanks, Bill. This is KG4ZXC, and it's Wednesday night, Liberty Net. And I'm taking further check-ins. Is anyone else out there? Queen Fox Victor. Name and location.
My name is Tom in Monroe, New Jersey.
Monroe, New Jersey. Wow. Okay. Got you in there, Mr. Tom, and not too bad of a signal, so let's pray the band holds up. Hey, thanks, thanks for being there tonight, Tom, and we'll get back around to you as well. You'll be after Mr. Bill. Give me a quick signal report out, Jersey.
You're a solid 10 over 9. Everybody tonight's got a really good signal. The band seem to be holding up. Even 40 meters was doing good tonight.
Okay, excellent. Good to know. All right, Tom, we'll be back around to you, too, and thanks for being here with us tonight on the Liberty Net. Who else is out there? Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and start the Liberty Net, and Mr. Bob, you'll be the first on the list, but first of all, I want to go ahead and read something that I think we all should be aware of. This is KG4ZXE in the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm your net control, KG Jesse here in Pennsylvania. And this is from Ronald Reagan. In the communist world, we see failure, technological backwardness, declining standard of health, even want to the most basic kind. Too little food, even today. The Soviet Union still cannot feed itself. East and West do not distrust each other because we are armed, and we are armed because we distrust each other and others' difference, and are not about weapons, but about liberty. The most fundamental distinction of all between East and West is that totalitarian world produces backwardness because it does such violence to the spirit, thwarting to the human impulse to create, to enjoy, to worship. The totalitarian world finds even symbols of love and of worship and at a in front effort. Anyway, I've been reading a lot through the Ronald Reagan quotes and different verses that this man had, and he speaks so elegantly, almost like some of the stuff I've heard from George Washington and other founding fathers. And I know our president tonight does not speak the language that politicians speak, and I thank him for that, because he is a common man, and he is our president, and at least, if anything, we understand him. And I just wanted to open the net with that tonight, because I thought it was something that needs to be heard. Hey, K-A-J-O-Y, you have the deck, sir, so take it away.
Good evening. This is K-A-J-O-Y. I'm going to be quick because I don't want the band to fail and we all need to get in here. So this is for Newsmax. McCarthy slams Kellyanne Harris over the L.A. deputy shooting. Democrats keep talking about defunding the police, and this is inciting such actions, such as the ambush shootings of the two Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies this past weekend. And Democrat Vice President nominee Little Miss Harris is saying nothing, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican California, said. Quote, you know what is most telling to me is that U.S. Senator Harris, the former Attorney General of California, the top cop, as people would call her, has said nothing. When these deputies were sitting in their car protecting the community, it's appalling and disgusting to me. This is what is transpiring if we thought Democratic policy to continue. This is why we need to do something different, such as President Trump. Rather than talking about defunding the police, they should rise to condemn the shootings. Quote, why don't they help look for the individuals who did this, said McCarthy, adding Harris, the Democrats' vice president nominee, has remained silent. So at the end of it says, I think Joe Biden is out of touch because I have been with the president and Governor Newsom on the ground during these fires. I have watched them work together. You've heard Newsom praise his president, but more importantly, Governor Newsom took from the last time they were actually changed the policies in California to make sure there's less fuel out there as to not to burn. So he's talking about the forest fires, how California's not cleaning up that brush, all that fuel that's laying on the ground because the free huggers don't want it. And the other incident has to do with the two deputies who were sitting in their car and were shot in the face from the right-hand passenger's window. And I have another article about that, but I'll pass it back to you, Jesse. So, KG4ZX and the C, good evening. Welcome to all. This is K-A-J-O-Y.
Okay. Roger, roger. Yeah, I really hate the fact that them two officers got shot like that. God be with their families and prayers go out to them, because that was not justifiable in any circumstance. I don't care who you are. Thanks, Bob. K-A-J-O-N-O-I out of Ohio. And a great signal. Mr. Larry, you want to be at the bottom of the list, or you want to take off with something now?
I'm ready.
Okay, do you want to be at the bottom of the list, or you got something prepared?
I'm ready right now.
Okay, well, you have the floor, sir. So, N4ROQ, Mr. Larry, take it away.
Thank you, Jesse. $100,000 reward in deputy's ambush, and it seems like I've heard they've got it up way over that now. But anyway, this is Tuesday's paper, USA Today. $100,000 reward in deputy's ambush, USA Today. Authorities were searching Monday for a gunman who shot two Los Angeles County deputies in an ambush on Park Sheriff's squad car. Officials asked the public to help identify the gunman, offering a $100,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. Officers have only a very, very generic description of the shooter. I saw a video of that. Kind of a short-looking little fella. The Sheriff's Department released video of the incident in Los Angeles County. Sheriff Alex Pereira said the deputies, a 31-year-old woman and a 24-year-old man, were shot multiple times, but was able to radio for help. The shooting came hours after hundreds of demonstrators gathered to protest the death of DeJohn Kinsey, who also was shot by members of the Sheriff's Department. It's unclear if that was a factor in the shooting. The deputies had graduated together from a sheriff's academy 14 months ago, underwent surgery and were expected to recover. The two people were arrested at a protest outside the hospital. Yeah, I saw that protest, too. They were even protesting. They wanted these police officers to die. They were out there welcoming them to be shot. So we've got a real bad problem out there. Okay, Germany. Foreign labs confirm Navalny poisoned with Novichok. N-O-V-I-C-H-O-K. Comes from Berlin. Germany specialist labs in France and Sweden confirmed that Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, N-A-V-A-L-N-Y, was poisoned with a Soviet-era nerve agent. The German government said Monday a German military laboratory had previously found the substance in his samples. Navalny, the most prominent opponent of Russian President Vladimir Putin, was flown to Germany 2 days after falling ill August the 20th. The Hague-based Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons also is having samples from the Navalny tested. So, I think, Putin, he don't put up with any opposition there. He just gives them that nerve agent there. I know there's several of them back through the years that have succumbed to it. So, who knows? Could be him taking care of them there. So, we'll go ahead and pass it on, and so we can get a one full round of everyone. Make sure the band's going to stay like it is there. So, shoot it back up to you. Jesse,
enjoying
it at N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee.
Okay, thank you, Larry, N4ROQ, and Mr. Larry, thank you for that. And, yeah, I haven't been able to follow too much more on it, but I'm glad you reiterated on that a little bit, because I was not catching all the full story there. Good deal. Thanks, Mr. Larry. Alright, let's see, K4, Hotel X-Ray Yankee, Mr. Tim, good evening, sir, and, you, have the floor.
Okay, K4XXY, I'm here on KM4RO. Well, we're on, listening mode tonight. We enjoy listening through the net. We don't have any specific comments, but we are going to be missing, and we have been for some time. And I just want to say that we are diehard trappers, and we agree with the net, we enjoy the net, and we encourage you to keep up the good work. So we'll be listening. Back to net. This is K4HXY.
Okay, K4HXY, and appreciate you being there tonight, Mr. Tim, and if you feel like chiming in, definitely give me a heads up, and we'll put you back in there. Hey, KO4FE, Mr. Bill, you have the deck, sir.
Okay, KG4ZXC in the Liberty Net, this is KO4FE. Okay, well, we got another one of these random murders, and, you know, it's funny, every time if the races of this case were reversed, you'd have all kind of investigations into the perpetrator, if he'd been white, whether he ever used the N-word, what was he posting on the internet, all this other stuff. But when it's a black killing a white, it's just considered a random crime. But I think in this case, there was at least a suspicion that this guy was agitated by these Black Lives Matter and the mainstream media. But anyway, let's get into this story. Gateway Pundit. 60-year-old black man arrested for murdering white 19-year-old UC Berkeley student without any warning or provocation. A 60-year-old black man has been arrested for the murder of a 19-year-old UC Berkeley student. On Monday, the Alameda County District Attorney's Office filed felony charges against Berkeley resident Tony Walker for the June murder of UC student Seth Smith. According to the authorities, Smith was walking in the southwest Berkeley when Walker approached him from behind him and shot him at close range in the back of the head. Berkeley side reports that law enforcement said the random killing was done without any warning or provocation. Smith had been walking on Dwight Way in southwest Berkeley on June 15th when someone approached him from behind and shot him at close range in the back of the head, authorities said. On Monday, the DA's office charged Walker with murder and several other felony firearms violations, according to court records reviewed by Berkeley side. Walker, a felon on probation who lived within a few hundred feet of where the homicide happened at Dwight Way and Valley Street, was prohibited from having guns or ammunition because of his criminal record. Well, that didn't stop him. Walker's criminal record spans decades and includes assault with a deadly weapon and possession of a firearm by a felon. Wonder if he was let out by Gavin Newsom due to the Chinese virus. They don't even talk about that. Said Smith was pronounced dead at the scene. Quote, my son never felt like there was anywhere in Berkeley that was unsafe to walk, close quote, his mother Michelle Rhodes Smith told Berkeley side on Monday. Well, in this time of day, in this day and age with the media propaganda running full bore 24/7, BLM tearing up cities, protesting, and the general anti-white atmosphere in the nation right now, stirred up by the leftists and the Democrats, unfortunately, you can't feel totally safe anywhere. Well, here's some good news. Lancaster protesters held on whopping $1 million bail after alleged riots. 12 adults, one juvenile charged for allegedly rioting early Monday. Pennsylvania judge threw the book at several protesters, setting their bail at $1 million each for allegedly rioting in the wake of the police shooting of a knife-wielding Lancaster man. Lancaster police nabbed a dozen people and one juvenile for staging the riots around 3 a.m. Monday in clashes that culminated in police deploying tear gas at the crowd. I mean, this is totally ridiculous. They got this guy on videotape and attacking a cop with a knife, and the policeman barely got several shots off to neutralize this maniac, and these idiots are still protesting. It's really unbelievable. They're totally out of control. Anyway, back to the story. The overnight violence came on the heels of the death of Ricardo Munoz, the mentally ill 27-year-old who was seen on body cam footage charging at a cop with a knife in his hand. The officer shot and killed Munoz Sunday afternoon outside his mother's house in downtown Lancaster. The mob marched from the scene of the shooting on Laurel Street to the police station, chucking glass bottles, rocks, bricks, gallon jugs filled with liquid, and plastic road barricades at cops, police said. A county vehicle parked in front of the station was also damaged. A 16-year-old boy was also busted on riot, disorderly conduct, possession of instruments of crime, possession of a small amount of marijuana, propulsion of missiles into a roadway, and institutional vandalism. They showed the pictures of these clowns. It looks like a real rogues gallery. Magisterial District Judge Bruce Roth set bail for nine of the defendants at $1 million apiece, with court records showing all of them unable to post. They were being held at the Lancaster County Prison. Finally, we got some judge that will stand up to these clowns. Let's see, what else does it say? One of the guys was on probation, and a detainer would be launched against him. Social justice advocacy group Lancaster Stands Up claimed Patterson and Enterline, two of those arrested, were working as so-called medics at the Munoz protest when they were arrested. Yeah, they go around with medic, press. It's all a bunch of baloney. Anyway, they're complaining about the high bail. Well, maybe at least one thing, they're not going to be back out on the street again. None of them can come up with the bail money. That's one way to keep these riots under control, unlike Portland and some of the other places where they arrest them and they're out before the police can even get the paperwork done. There's one more in the Gateway Pundit again. Italian priest Roberto Malgassini stabbed and murdered by migrant in Piazza San Rocco. Italian priest Roberto Malgassini, 51 years old, a real street priest, as many describe him, was stabbed and murdered on Monday. His killer was described as a homeless man of Tunisian origin, age 53. The migrant was a person Father Malgassini knew and assisted, and with whom he seems to have been on good terms. Well, being on good terms with these migrants doesn't mean anything. So anyway, there's a priest that seems like he was trying to do some good, and all he got in return for his charity was stabbed to death by a migrant who shouldn't even have been in Italy. So anyway, back to you, Jesse. KG4ZXC and a Liberty Net. This is KO4FE.
Okay, KO4FE and the Wednesday Night Liberty Net, and thank you for that information. Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of late research in the night, and not sure what is
covered in what inks. I was going to let everybody go through their list, and then I would bring something to the table here. In the meantime, let's thanks, Bill, and appreciate your comments. This is KG4ZXE, Jesse here in Pennsylvania, and we're going to take it down to let's take it over to New Jersey. He's not down, he's not up. He's right beside me here in the state. Into QFV. Mr. Tom, you had the podium, sir. Okay, well, thanks there, Tom, and thank you very much for coming in, and God bless you, sir, and keep up the good work, and make sure you do everything you can, because everybody needs to be packing right now, everywhere you go, because these people are so unpredictable, and if they know you support this administration, they will come after you in some way. So I recommend each and every one of you to stay vigilant. Thanks, Tom. Good to hear you in there, and come back when you can. Into Q, Quebec, Foxtrot Victor, 73s, and thanks for being here. All right, we're at the bottom of the list, ladies and gentlemen, and the band seems like it's stable for the time being. I hope I don't speak too soon. And this is Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'll take further check-ins or late check-ins. Call now.
Kilo Echo 8, Mike Foxtrot Romeo. This is Bill from Michigan.
Okay, Bill from Michigan. Good golly. What part of Michigan are you in? And give me a call one more time, mate, because my pen was kind of stats. it's still acting stupid.
Roger that. I'm in Southeast Michigan. Call sign is Kilo Echo 8, Mike Foxtrot Romeo. And that's KE8MFR. And the name is Bill. Copy.
Okay, Bill, yeah, copy. Stand by. We'll put you on the list, and you'll have the floor here in just a minute. Want to give you an opportunity to throw something in there if you'd like. Anyone else for the net? Call now. Okay, hearing nothing, this is Wednesday Night Liberty Net. I'm Jesse here in Pennsylvania, Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-Ray Charlie. All right, Mr. Bill out of Michigan, K8MFR, come on in.
All right, roger that. Thanks for having me in here into the net control tonight, and I would just like to say that, as opposed to a lot of people think, what Donald Trump has, done in Michigan or in the United States, across the United States, he's done more in the short time that he's been president than I can ever remember any president doing. And signing peace agreements, a lot of people said that he's going to come in here and he's going to be, a big warmonger. But he hasn't been that at all. The only thing that he's done, is when Iran threatened our troops, multiple times. It was like not just one time, it was multiple times. and, you know, he went in there and he destroyed Soleimani, and it was a strategical strike. And he just destroyed him. He was like, he went and bombed the whole country. He destroyed him. And honestly, the Iranian people were happy. And, you know, he just got a peace proposal between, I think it was Israel and, I can't think of the other country. Israel and another country that he was that was at war with each other for years, and then he did another country, which was I think it was Serbia and Kosovo, which had been at war with each other for years. So you know, he's at two. Noble, not medals of honor, but peace prizes. You know, I mean, the guy has, you know, he's doing what he set out to do. And if some people can't recognize what this guy has been doing, because he talks the talk and he walks the walk, big time. Unlike any other president, at least I can say in my lifetime. Unlike any other president, you know, he's not in it for the money. Obviously, he's got more money than any other person that's been in it. He's in it to make this country great again. And I seriously believe that. And if you look at all the old videos that he's been doing, and it's all videos that he's done with him on Oprah Winfrey show back in the 80s, and his message always been the same. And it's just America has done bad deals. And why have they done bad deals? Well, look at the people that's been in office, all the bad politicians. Really, if you think about it, Trump is really not a politician. He's a businessman. He's gonna seek out the best business for the United States. And if anybody can do it, it's him. And he's done it. He's been doing it left and right. So I'm gonna say Trump 100% right here, and I'm gonna go back to net control from KE8MFR back to net control. There you go.
Okay, KE8MFR, Mr. Bill, out there in the great state of Michigan. God bless you, sir. And yeah, you hit it on the money. This president's done more for this country, but you know, you can't get this the mainstream news outlets to give them one inch of credit. You can't get the Democratic Party to acknowledge anything without trying to pull some kind of trick or some form of some form of crap on them, and in every way possible. We all know it. I mean, if this president had not been subjected to 2 years or better of this, oh my God, the Russian collusion crap, or whatever they wanted to call it, the spy gate, whatever. I mean, this coup attempt against this president in itself has been going on from it's been going on almost a year prior to his election. So, you know, just think what he could have actually done if he wasn't obstructed by all these different adversities coming at him from every angle. I'm not just talking about the American side, but I'm talking about China, the UA, the HO, the WHO, among all the UK and all them conspirators against this. Because everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar with China and everybody else, and, oh, he cut their money off. So they're pissed. And that's the way I see it. Thanks, Bill. We'll come back around to you. This is KG4ZXC, and we'll send it back to the top. K8JONY, back to you, Mr. Bob. You at the top of the list. Take it away.
Yeah, take. Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I gave him a secretary to get ready or something there. I just wanted to put in there, you know, the fake news are really fake news. Trump's got it.
I guess if I turned on the microphone, it would work better. So KG4 is the X and the C, KTOY. Let me check back and see if I got it, over.
Rallies, you can look at the rallies live and post. They're posted on YouTube, posted on YouTube. They're called Light, R-I-G-H-T, Side, S-I-D-E. Broadcasting. Again, Right, R-I-G-H-T, Side, S-I-D-E, Broadcasting. Pull that up under Trump Rally there, and you'll see it's on YouTube, and you'll see other people speaking before Trump on these rallies, and then Trump will speak last. He usually speaks at least an hour. But he gives you an update of everything he's working on, everything the Democrats are doing. I mean, it's just like a news. He's like a news media. He gives you everything that's possible. The news media will not say anything about him unless it's bad. They're taking somebody's got something bad to say about him, and you might hear it on the fake news. But if you want to hear what's really going on, watch him at his rallies. You can see a lot of the older rallies, too, on that Right Side Broadcasting on YouTube. So, I mean, I've been watching him for a long time, and I'm really... He says, you know, they're telling this on me, and they're saying this, and it's all bull crap. It's all bull crap. All these news medias are trying to say things that are way out of proportion and make him look bad. But if you want to hear the stuff that you really need to hear from Trump, you want to hear what he's working on and what he's done and all, he's working on the wall. He's got so many miles on that wall, built on the wall already. Democrats are not saying anything about him working on the wall at all. That was their slogan there for a long time. You know, open borders, open borders. He's not getting anything done on the wall. We're not going to build a wall. Now he's beat him on that. He beat him. He tried and did everything possible and beat the Democrats on building the wall, gentlemen. He beat him, and he beat him on this catch and release stuff down on the border, too. They're not catching them and releasing them in the U.S. anymore. They're turning them around and going back to Mexico, where they come from. So if you listen to that Right Side Broadcasting, you'll see what kind of a fellow he is, and you'll get the right kind of news that you need. Have all your friends look at that, too, because you can really see how much he really wants to help this nation and how good of a president he really is. So back to you there, Jesse, and Florida.
Okay, who's the other station? The other station, you got a comment, give me your call and name and location.
Don't hear him anymore.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, yeah, you know, people always wondered why he tweeted all the time. Well, that was the only way to get the information out, because half of everything that comes through the news networks are garbage anyway, and they wouldn't dang tell it to be for truth, even if he did say it. So, there you have it. Hey, Mr. Bob, K-H-J-O-N-O-Y, take it away. You got the podium.
Thank you, Jesse. I guess you got to turn the power on to the power mic for things to work, so.
I have an article here from Fox News. Talks about New York City Mayor de Blasio announced Wednesday that his entire office, including himself, will be furloughed for a week to help fight the city's multi-billion dollar budget crisis. De Blasio, his wife, Charlene McKay, and 493 others will be unpaid furlough sometime between October 1st and March of 2021, with an expected savings of $860,000. We have to make tough choices to move this city forward and keep our budget balanced, de Blasio told reporters. The city is facing a $9 billion deficit. If you wouldn't have chased everybody out by closing the whole city, you'd have some money. It even talks about New York City loses hundreds of billions in wealth as rich residents skip town. De Blasio said, and I quote, "I can't have imagined no action by Washington, D.C. up until this point. Again, you're the one that ruined your city. I thought it would be an article of faith that would be the federal stimulus, but that hasn't been, and I see no indication that there will be for the remainder of this year." Again, what's our deficit? Like $28 trillion? You know, each state's got to take care of itself. The mayoral salary is $258,541 a year. So they're basically in a hurt because everybody is trying to rush out of that state, and good old Ocasio-Cortez, she's looking for money too. So I'll pass it back to you. My phone's ringing. KG4ZX and a C, KAHJO and a Y.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And yeah, they know how to ruin their own state and then blame it on somebody else. Typical politicians. They have no concept of what a real job or how management works. Thank you, Bob. And KHJOY. Let me take a quick pause. I thought I heard another station trying to check in. Anyone else for the Liberty Net? You'll call some, please.
KHMFR, I'm just saying that guy from New York, he's spot on that. If their state is run very, very poorly by some very bad people, over.
Yeah, de Blasio, I mean, was he a billionaire? And you think he got there by some form of management, but unfortunately, it was handed to him on a silver spoon. All right, let's take it back down to Mr. Larry, and it goes back to you, Mr. Larry. So N4ROQ, you have the deck, sir.
Okay, sorry, I thought it might be a minute before it got back to me, but I'm ready. Okay, looks like you were talking about, let's talk a little more about New York here. Bloomberg, the billionaire, Michael Bloomberg, said Sunday he will spend at least $100 million to help Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden in the battleground state of Florida. Where polling has tightened in recent weeks as President Donald Trump fights for his second term. Voting starts on September 24th in Florida, so the need to inject real capital in that state quickly is an urgent need. Bloomberg advisor Kevin Sheekey told the Washington Post might believe that by investing in Florida, it will allow campaign resources and other Democratic resources to be used. Bloomberg, whose net worth, listen at this now, is estimated at more than $50 billion, spent about $1 billion on his failed Democratic primary bid before dropping out and endorsing Biden. Bloomberg vowed to do whatever it takes to defeat Trump and has contributed millions to help Democratic candidates in 2020. I see that's what we're up against. These high-dollar liberal Democrats trying to beat Trump and beat these other candidates. Bloomberg transferred $18 million from his presidential campaign to the Democratic National Committee. It has been nearly 100 years since a Republican won a presidential election without Florida. A Biden victory there would dramatically narrow Trump's path to winning the Electoral College. it would require the president to hold all the states he won in 2016, including battleground states Arizona, Michigan, and North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Trump trails Biden, that's what they're saying in the polls, in five of those states. But you can't believe these fake news because you just never know. I don't foresee that, but we'll see how it goes. I'm for Trump all over. He's been great. He's done something and had to fight these liberal Democrats the whole way, and being impeached by the House of Representatives and over a phone call and everything else. This guy has been super just to withstand all their attacks. Even before he was elected, the FBI was investigating him and his campaign there to try to find something on him so they could get him out of office. So this guy has done great. You know, it's unbelievable what these liberals have done. Even the liberals in the FBI have done to him. Okay, let's see. The article goes on. This is in USA Today if anyone wants to read more of the article. So, looks like many more Democrats than Republicans plan to vote by mail, according to the polls. That has raised the possibility that Trump would appear victorious on election night, only to see that lead slip away as the mailed-in ballots are counted. So, these ballots, you don't know if these people, they're sending out ballots to people who have passed away and all this kind of stuff. It's a way to cheat. That's why the liberals want all this mail-in stuff. It's a way to cheat, gentlemen. Democrats, let's say, are concerned Trump, who has declared that voting by mail is a plot to steal the election, which I believe it is also. The Democrats would use that discrepancy to cast doubt on the election results. But anyway, so, you know, I think there's going to be a big, even if Trump wins this election, there's going to be so many mail-in ballots that the liberals aren't going to give up. They're going to say, well, we won here, we won there, we have to look. Have to count all these ballots. They may take months to count the ballots. So look forward to be messy at the end. Let's see. Let me see. I got one more article here. I want to shoot it back to you there, Jesse. It looks like here's a South Dakota's top attorney says body was found day after crash. Here's an article I thought was kind of interesting. South Dakota's top attorney, General Jason Ravensbourg, that's Ravensbourg, said late Monday that he realized he had struck and killed a man walking along a rural stretch of highway only after returning the next day in finding the body. Now, that's kind of hard to believe. The state's top law enforcement officer said he initially thought he hit a deer while driving home from the Republican fundraiser Saturday night. He is under investigation by the State Highway Patrol. Ravensbourg said he immediately called 911 after the crash. The victim was identified as Joseph Bowever, 55, so he must have been in the road. But anyway, at least this guy come forward. Possibility he could have thought he had a deer. All right, well, let me see. A lot of smoke coming from these wildfires, and they're spreading all the way to the East Coast. You know, there's not a whole lot you can do. I think all this rain from this hurricane will douse a lot of that out. But you're just going to have to, if you need to wear your mask a little bit, you're welcome to there. It's not too bad right now in Tennessee. So smoke from the historic wildfires is killing the lungs of millions of Westerners is now clouding skies across the nation. AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Benn said that a line can be drawn from California through St. Louis and on to Norfolk, Virginia, and that is nearly every place north of that line has smoke-tainted skies. Areas south of that line are see less smoke due to air coming from the Gulf of Mexico. Okay, the article goes on. It's got a lot of different things that they talk about regarding the smoke, but anyway, it's not affecting us too bad right at this time, but it is way up in the atmosphere here in Tennessee. That's all I can get and tell you about here. We'll let you pass it on, Jesse. Sounding good down here. From Larry in Tennessee, back to Matt in from Milwaukee.
Okay. Roger. Thank you, Larry, and for that smoke out in California. Yeah, they caught six individuals out there for starting the fires for arson out west. There was six different individuals from California, Oregon, and Washington State. So these fires ain't just some kind of fluke. So that's another story that can be covered on a different time. But they have definitely locked up six for arson. And for these mail-in ballots, you know, if you only got 1 million people in your state by the new census, then mail-in ballots, only 1 million people should be legitimized. And then you got to subtract the people that actually went to the polling centers. So, you know, there's an easy way to fix this, but I still think it'll be rigged. All right, this is KG4ZXC, and let's see, Mr. Tim is listening mode, K4HXY, out of Florida. I hope our signal's still holding up down there. You can at least acknowledge if my signal's holding up down there, Mr. Tim. Okay, Mr. Tim must have took off. So you'll be on deck here, KO4FE. Just 1 second, I want to read this real quick. Have you guys, excuse me, have you guys read the report about Fox News censoring Newt Gingrich for correcting, stating George Soros' role in fomenting the Black Lives Matter group? Anyway, it's quick, so I'll keep it simple. A Fox News panel lost their mind earlier today when former House Speaker Newt Gingrich mentioned George Soros' role in supporting the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa terrorist display. Gingrich told Fox News host Harris Faulkner that it is it is district attorney funded by George Soros who are responsible for the violence because they routinely allowed violent rioters to be back on the street. This is when the situation became extremely awkward and tense. I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this, left-wing panelist Maury Harf interjected. He paid for it, Gingrich responded. George Soros doesn't need to be part of the conversation, Harf commented. Okay, Gingrich said, confused. So it is Vibotin, he said, Vibotin. Okay, already we're good. Faulkner said to the Gingrich off. Faulkner said to cut Gingrich off, is what he said. The clip ended with a bizarre period of silence before Faulkner tearfully changed the subject. So that is on Big League Politics if you want to read the rest of the story. But I thought I'd bring that up. So anyway, let's take it to KO4FE. Mr. Bill, you have the deck, sir.
Okay, KG4ZXC from KO4FE. Okay, Jesse. Yeah, I saw that clip from Fox News. That was pretty bizarre. I guess George Soros' name isn't allowed to be mentioned on Fox News. I'm wondering what's behind that. Maybe George Soros is giving Fox News money now. Seems to be handing out money hand over fist. Him along with Jeff Bezos' wife is handing out hundreds of millions of dollars. She may be giving out more than Soros. I don't know. But Soros been at it a long time. Okay, more good news out of Pennsylvania. Three Black Lives Matter militants charged for involvement in confrontations at Pittsburgh restaurants, including woman who stole drink off table. Three Black Lives Matter militants are facing charges after their violent and aggressive confrontations at restaurants in Pittsburgh were caught on video a couple weeks ago. Black Lives Matter terrorists screamed obscenities at elderly people dining outdoors in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania over Labor Day weekend. F-12, F-white people, you old dick, one BLM militant yelled to a peaceful elderly white man sitting at a table. A woman, a black woman, then marched over to the table, to the couple, grabbed the drink off their table and chugged it. Other violent Biden supporters were breaking glassware and intimidating diners. Charges were filed against Sean Green, a.k.a. Lorenzo Rulli, as well as Kenneth McDowell and Monique Kraft. McDowell's charges include possessing instruments of a crime, disorderly conduct, and harassment. Green's included disorderly conduct and criminal mischief. Kraft's included theft by unlawful taking and disorderly conduct. So maybe they'll get, I didn't hear any mention of $1 million bails, but maybe if they got some $1 million bails like the ones in Lancaster, they wouldn't be so enthusiastic about acting like maniacs in public. Here's one fake news. Gateway Pundit, fake news. CBS caught using photo from Latinos for Trump event in Phoenix and tagged it as a Biden Florida event. Boy, that's really something. Fake news. CBS got caught in a huge lie again. CBS News used a photo from a Latinos for Trump event in Phoenix and tagged it as a Biden's Latino event in Florida. And emblazoned on CBS's chyron said, quote, Biden pitches crucial Latino votes during Florida campaign stop, unquote, with a photo from Trump's Phoenix rally. A Latina in the photo was literally wearing a hat that said, I love Trump. And they, I guess they missed that. So now they can't even, they can't even use Biden's actual photos. They have to steal them from Trump. It says Biden's Latino event in Kissimmee, Florida, yesterday was a total disaster. Biden was nearly 2 hours late to the event. The event had looked like it had three people at it. I mean, that's really bad. No wonder they had to steal pictures from Trump's rally. Shows probably just in the photo there must be 100 people, and that's just showing one section of the crowd. Here's one, arsonist. No wonder the fires are burning out west. Listen to this one. Oregon catches arsonist in the act, lets him out, surprised to find he sets new fires. They're stupid. There's pig stupid, and then there's Oregon. That's the astonishing picture we have here where a suspect, Domingo Lopez Jr., 45, who had been arrested just 12 hours earlier for setting fires, got somehow let out and proceeded to commit more arson with the Antifa weapon of choice, the Molotov cocktail, as if that couldn't be foreseen. The second time around, he set six fires. Who needs global warming with guys like this? The big fail here was from the justice system, which let the known firebug, freshly caught in the act, out and about. Obviously, there's something going on with this. How could anyone in authority be this stupid? It's sheer lunacy to let a caught-in-the-act arsonist out at a time of high fires and not guess he'd go back to the same thing he was caught doing earlier, but that's exactly what happened. There's some kind of disoriented logic going on, whether of the prosecutor or the Portland cops or the political establishment leading them, the Ted Wheeler crowd. You don't ever let a live arsonist firebug out after he's been caught once in the act at a time of high disastrous fires taking out whole towns and creating mass casualty events, and has been the story in Oregon. The state currently has 1 million acres on fire, as many 20 dead and 40,000 evacuated. Who comes up with the idea of letting this freak out? And who is surprised that he did what he did? As Nancy Pelosi puts it, quote, people will do what they do, unquote. Was it because he had a lot of earmarks of Antifa in his use of Molotov cocktails that he got out the same as your average Portland rioter looter? Was it because Oregon is pretty much shutting down its law enforcement mechanisms based on the rabid 100-day siege of protests in Portland? Is it because some bad news regarding bail on the books? At the early stage, I don't know, but something out there is trying to protect Antifa and the orbit of criminals around them with this lunatic act of letting an arsonist out and getting surprised he started more fires. So anyway, one thing we do know is that the authorities are downplaying the damage the fiend did, saying the fires were small and put out, so we're supposed to think it's no big deal. So anyway, we also know that Facebook is trying to suppress any information about Antifa involvement in these fires. That has a funny smell in light of the fact that the arsonist used Molotov cocktails to set its blazes, the Antifa weapon of choice, instead of just plain matches or cans of gasoline, as ordinary arsonists do. Doesn't everyone have a spare Molotov cocktail on hand? Here's the other disturbing detail. He's not the only one. A creep was arrested for arson in Lane County here, and three other firebugs were arrested in Washington and California, suggesting quite possibly some sort of plan. Antifa, remember, said if it doesn't get what it wants, cities will burn. And here's the evidence that the problem is real, because the Oregon residents, not the dolts in Portland who vote blue and hold all political power, are terrified. CNN reports that some of them have started stopping unfamiliar cars into their towns at gunpoint. CNN tuts the activity, but it's pretty obvious that Oregon's normal people are convinced that the authorities aren't about to protect them, and they are scared enough to take matters into their own hands. It's also disturbing that at a time like this, the Oregon fire marshal has resigned for murky reasons, a development that will be sure to hold more revelations, none of them likely to make the leftist running Oregon look good. There's some kind of chaos churning among the leftists running that state, and Antifa and arsonists seem to be protected, which is why they're running wild. It sounds like something very, very corrupt is going on. All this kid glove treatment of Antifa, all this effort to spare Antifa's delicate feelings from critics. a sort of protection racket of Antifa and its co-evils at the expense of the law-abiding. Now, there's this kid glove treatment of a live arsonist who uses Antifa's weapon of choice. So anyway, it finishes with, it's almost as if Antifa had a muscular presence in the Portland government or something. Letting this fiend out does not make any sense. And Oregon's authorities apparently aren't bothered about looking like fools every time they bow to the forces of lawlessness. There's something worse for them, it seems like, that them looking like fools. So there you go. Yeah, that's why the damn liberals are always screaming global warming, and they don't even count that all these fires that are being set by these damn arsonists. It's ridiculous. It's like anything that comes out of a leftist mouth, you know, is a lie, or multiple lies, or lies on top of lies, but whatever it is, it ain't the truth. So anyway, back to you, Jesse, KG4ZXC, LibertyNet, KO4FE.
Good report, my brother.
Hey, thank you, Bill. And, that's excellent, because I was going to bring up a couple extra add-ons real quick just to, before we move down to Mr. Tom. So, Tom, you're on the deck, sir, so stand by. This is off Gateway Pundit's, not climate change is what the headline says. Oregon woman catches arsonist on her property with matches. Holds him at gunpoint until police arrive. The Oregon woman found the arsonist on her property over the weekend. The woman held him by gunpoint on the grounds until the police arrived, she told the man in her. If her husband would have caught him, he'd be dead. The mainstream media ignores the citizen's arrest. It goes against the global warming propaganda and antitrust narrative. So there you have it, guys. I mean, it's cut and dry. And there was another article where this young college kid, she was a good looker, too, and she's holding a can of gasoline. They took a picture of her, and she's on Facebook. But yet, anybody else on Twitter or Facebook gets booted if you holding up a Donald Trump flag or something. And this is just out. It came through InfoWars, the Alex Jones broadcast, and you can look this up. Senate panel approved subpoena for top 41 Spygate cronies, including Comey, Brennan, McCabe, Clapper, Rice, Pugh Strzok, Lisa Page, Sidney Blumenthal, Samantha Power, and Stephen Harper, and also compelled to testify about the Russian hoax. So you can read this story on InfoWars. It's highlighted in red. The Homeland Security of Government Affairs Committee voted on Wednesday to authorize subpoenas to in dispositions for 41 deep state individuals who are responsible for launching the bogus Russian collusion investigation, including the top former leaders of the FBI and CIA. I won't go into any further, but you guys can read it. It's on InfoWars right now. So if you want to finish that story, feel free, because there's some stuff coming out, and that's what we need to be aware of. The news is out there. You just got to look for it, and you got to find it, and you can't believe anything the mainstream media says. So with that, let's move down to November 2, Quebec, Foxtrot Victor, and Mr. Tom out of the great state of New Jersey. Well, it used to be a great state, so come aboard, sir, and what you got for us? Okay, I think Mr. Tom took off. So, KEAMFR, Mr. Bill, out of the great state of Michigan. Come on in, sir. You have the podium.
Roger that. This is Bill, KEAMFR, and yeah. Well, you know, I just got to back. back everything that my man said earlier and that you said earlier about Donald Trump is that, you know, look what the man has done. And, you know, on top of all this, you know, look what he's done in the short time that he's been president. And on top of that, you know, look at easy to eat just recently done this peace deal between, I think it was Israel and United Arab Emirates. And then there was another peace deal that he did between, I think it was Croatia and it was like Bosnia or somewhere over there. And he's nominated for 2 Nobel Peace Prizes. You know, nobody has been able to go over there and create peace between these two countries. Everybody said that when Donald Trump got in here, oh, it's going to be World War III. No, it's not. Donald Trump he thinks outside the box. Okay, he's not going in there thinking about war. You know, and look what he's done. He's created nothing but peace. And how many presidents do you know that has been over to North Korea and stepped foot over there like Donald Trump has over to Rocket Man's land and, you know, actually stepped foot over there? I think he was the only president in history to actually do that. And, you know, he's like willing to shake hands with the guy and say, look, you know, let's not do this anymore. Let's have a peaceful relationship. You know, there's nobody that's ever done that before. And, you know, Rocket Man, you know, I think he launched a couple of rockets after that. And then after that, I haven't heard anything from that guy. So, anyway, I mean, it's like, you know, Trump is doing everything right for this country. And if you can't see it, you know, even if you don't, I would like to even tell the Democrats this, even if you don't like Donald Trump as a person, you gotta like what he's done for this country. Because, I mean, his policies, everything that he's done, I mean, the guy is for this country 100%. I mean, you can't deny it. And I don't even know what else to say. I'm just going to send it back to you, Net Control. This is KE8MFR. Back to you, Net.
Okay, KE8MFR, Mr. Bill, out of Michigan. This is Wednesday Night Liberty Net. And good choice words there about our president. God bless this man and for everything he's done and stood for. You know, and that's sad because this man has gone out of his way to make this country great. And turn it back into something these other parties have done and destroyed it in time. You know, they have been slowly deteriorating our Constitution, and yet they hide behind it when it fits their needs. So, yeah, couldn't say it any better. And God bless this president. We're going to take a quick pause and we'll go to the top. So you're on deck, Mr. Bob, K8JONY. Let's do a quick pause, see if anybody else would like to check into the Liberty Net here on Wednesday night. Call now. Okay, I'm not hearing anything, so we'll go to Mr. Bob. You have the podium, sir.
Thank you, Jesse. Mr. Bill kind of stole my thunder, but I'll just touch on it a little bit more, that the dawn of a new Middle East, Trump targets illicit Iran trade ahead of Israel Gulf nations at a White House meeting. He had the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, United Arab Emirates Foreign Minister, and Bahrain Foreign Minister present for the signing. The deals between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Israel and Bahrain involve the exchange of ambassadors, establishment of embassies, and the cooperation of a range of fronts, including trade, security, and tourism. The agreements known as the Abraham Accords also allow Muslims to visit Islamic holy sites in Israel. Trump said the deals were formed the foundation for a comprehensive peace across the entire nation. The day is a pivot of history. It heralds a new dawn of peace, Netanyahu said. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have prayed for peace, but for decades, the Jewish state has prayed for peace, and this is why today we are filled with such profound gratitude. Meanwhile, Bahrain's foreign minister praised Trump's role in securing the deal. Mr. President, your statesmanship and tireless efforts have brought us here today and made peace a reality. Dr. Abdullah bin Rashid Al Zarenta. Geez, they got some strange names. So basically, it is a good deal. As we learn more about the full details of both agreements, questions remain, specifically regarding the commitment that the UAE has received from Trump administration to purchase the American-made F-35 aircraft. I heard a little bit of talk about that. They're basically buying the airframe. They don't get all the technology that America has. It's the airframe and its flyability. They'll have to put their own toys in it. So that was a real stink, but we don't give them everything we have with the Arab Emirates. So with that being said, the signals are still great tonight, Jeff. I am impressed. So back to you, KG4ZX and a C, KAHJO and a Y.
Okay, roger, roger. Yeah, everything seems to be pretty solid tonight, and thank God for that, because the last couple nets prior to this past Saturday was terrible, so hopefully it'll stay that way. All right, let's see. Mr. Larry, you on deck. I want to read this one article, and it'll be my highlight of the evening. I thought I'd bring something to the table tonight, a little bit more down home, right here in the great state of Pennsylvania. I thought this story would be appropriate, just for the simple reason I'm sure it corresponds with everything that's been going on throughout the country, and everybody needs to be aware of it. Anyway, the Democratic action in Pennsylvania are insane and most likely will cost them the 2020 election. They won't be able to steal enough votes to stop the massive rebuke of their insanity and policies. Our Senator Tom Wolf here in Pennsylvania, the Democratic Pennsylvania governor who popped his lid at the at the notion that the country were planning on opening without his approval, and in defiance in his order, in the mind of the Democrats only, they are allowed to decree when businesses are allowed to open. In fact, Governor Wolf is vowing to withhold funding to these counties. Wolf somehow claimed in an action of inflamed in the action to surrender and cowardness, because somehow in the minds of the Democrats it's brave to stay quarantined in your home, he says. The revolt by a dozen or more Pennsylvania counties who are opening up their business against the directive of Democratic Governor Tom Wolf has apparently thrown him into a blind rage, which was further exacerbated, by a tweet from President Trump in support of Pennsylvania Patriots, and a new conference by State Senator and Gubernational aspirant Doug Mastrano, in which he called for the resignation of the incompetent Health Secretary Rachel Levine, who Wolf attacked business owners who reopened from coronavirus shutdown before they were allowed to and the politicians who encouraged them, calling them cowards, threatening serious consequences for both groups, Wolf said, in a revoke state license for businesses and open early and stop some state funding to county government, saying businesses open before the state allowed state allows could lose license and require to operation, including liquor license, health certificates, and certifications of occupancies. Also in May, we reopened on Tom Wolf's Democrat health director. Okay, now listen to this. Pennsylvania Health Director Dr. Rachel Levine admitted he moved his own mother out of a senior facility to a hotel while the coronavirus was sweeping through nursing homes and killing elderly residents. Dr. Levine, who is the first transgender person appointed to the Pennsylvania cabinet because Secretary of Health in 2017. The coronavirus is ravaging nursing homes across the United States because of deadly Democrat policies forcing people infected by the COVID-19 back into a long-term health facility. Dr. Levine, however, made sure his 95-year-old mother was removed from the death box and transported safely to a motel. A federal judge in Pittsburgh on Monday found that order issued by Tom Wolf restricting the size and gathering, closing of non-essential businesses protected against the spread of the COVID-19, I always say covert because I think it was undercover operation. Anyway, we're unconstitutional. A U.S. District Judge William Stickman IV wrote on a 66-page opinion through the action taken by the spring and Wolf and Health Secretary Rachel Levine were laudable. They violated the First Amendment right and freedom of assembly and due process and equal protection clause of the 14th Amendment. It is complete and total victory for the counties, the businesses, and representation, said Attorney Thomas King III, who represented the plaintiffs in the case. You can order the entire population of Pennsylvania to stay at home. Mix, in fact, the Democrats had pushed to shut down Big Ten football and failed to execute that coronavirus is too much of a danger for players under the age of 25, basically immune to the coronavirus. You get the major blowback in the polls in the upcoming election. So there you have it. That was Pennsylvania's highlight this week in my book, because Tom Wolf and his transvestite dang cross-dressing woman looking whatever, what you're about to call it, that she is, has been pushing this thing across our TV stations for way too long, and it's time they had their six handed to them. I'll put it that way. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to send it down to N4ROQ, and this is the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Take it away, Mr. Larry.
Thank you there, sir.
Okay, thank you, Jesse. Somebody thanked you, I believe, Jesse. All right, I've been checking out this guy that's investigating all the people that's been missing out of these national parks for years here. And he's been putting little pins all over the U.S. and all over the world, really, with people that are missing in the national parks. And he's finding, he's a former law enforcement officer, and he gets information when he can from the Park Service. The Park Service is not letting out a lot of information about where these people are, if they're found, much about the autopsies or anything that's going on. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of people missing, and they can't find them. And then when they do find them, there's a lot of strange stuff going on. Some of the things that I've found here, that they're finding these victims usually among a bunch of rocks. And that puts me to mind that whatever might be taking these victims away are sort of like animals, you know. They want to be around rocks of some kind. And the dogs are not trailing your scent. They will not trail. They'll just stop and move away. Now, that means there's something there that these animals do not want to follow. And they're finding the victims too far away from where they would normally be. But when they find them, for the amount of time they've been lost, they find them with some of their clothes off, maybe all of them, and especially their shoes. Find a lot of victims with their shoes off, maybe one sock on. So, I mean, there's some weird stuff going on. This guy named David Palaides, that's spelled, I believe this is correct, P-A-U-L-I-D-E-S. P-A-U-L-I-D-E-S. This is you people that like these. Find some mysteries. This is some mysteries that are really live and direct mysteries here of what is going on in the U.S. and the world. This gentleman was, he interviews on Coast to Coast AM quite a bit by George Norrie, and I catch him on there when I can think of it, and last night he was on there. That's why I wanted to let the people know that there's a lot of stuff going on, especially in these national parks, that these people are becoming ill. And a lot of the times they'll be in a group of people, but they'll be maybe the last person at the end, and the group will turn around, and that person is gone, and they'll look for weeks and never find them. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on, whether it's UFOs, whether it's a Bigfoot, whatever. There's a lot of missing people, and they're not finding very much information about them. So if you people want to research that a little bit, that David Palaides has written some books. Don't remember all of them. Some of them is like Missing 411, I believe, is one of his books. But he's got several of them now, I think, and maybe he's expanded to the whole world. Instead of just to the U.S., he's expanded it. He found out there was a lot in other areas, too, that were missing. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening that could be, can't be explained at this point, he says. He can't figure out, the Park Service is not straightforward on a lot of this. They're not putting these out because I think they know what's happening, and they don't want it to get out in the public. So that's something that I'm interested in. I'm going to try to look in it further. I've read quite a bit about it, but I want to read, maybe possibly get to one or two of his books and read a little bit more. Okay, guys, let's see if I find something else. China's in the news here on USA Today. The WTO panel found U.S. tariffs on China illegal. This is from Geneva. Now, Trump is right. We don't need to be in all these groups because they're for these other countries. And this is called the World Trade Organization. Panel ruled Tuesday that Trump's administration tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods are illegal, vindicating Beijing, even if the United States has all but incapacitated the WTO's ability to hand down a final binding verdict. That's like NATO. They want to run these big world trade organizations, these big organizations like NATO and the different places. They want to run the whole world. So you know, they want to tell U.S. what to do. And, of course, China's been eating our lunch for so many years, and it's tremendous that we've got a president like Trump that's putting some tariffs on them to get some of their jobs back in the U.S. They've all left. Most of the factories have left, and we couldn't even find a mask or different things for the COVID-19 virus. They were all made in China. So Trump's made a decision that that stuff has to be made over here, and he's trying to get everything back over here. And the one way to do it is put the tariffs to them so it will not benefit them to make all that stuff in another country. So if you want to read more on that, this WTO, World Trade Organization, is trying to say that Trump cannot charge China any tariffs. So let's see. Trump says the United States must be allowed to defend itself against the unfair trade practices, and the Trump administration will not let China use the WTO to take advantage of American workers, businesses, farmers, and ranchers. So Trump is he will stand up to these people. He's not he does what he the very best he can. He does not back down. If he doesn't back down to all these liberal Democrats and went through all the crap he's went through with them through the years here, through the last 4 years, then he will it'll be a breeze to handle a lot of these other countries. So he is one gentleman that's just right for our country. I think I heard him say this. Be sure to watch those broadcasts on Right Side Broadcasting. You can really see what Trump's like in those speeches. Here's an article about weapons and using some of these weapons that with rubber balls, rubber bullets, and to stop a lot of these police, where they're doing
rioters,
the break-ins, all these Black Lives Matter, all these other places, they're using rubber bullets now with tear gas. So they're using plastic projectiles tipped with hard sponge or foam bean bag rounds that consist of fabric socks containing metal shot and steam balls, grenades that spray hard rubber pellets. The report also cites instances in which tear gas canisters are fired at people. These weapons are referred to as less lethal. So the article goes on. I'm not going to read very much of it here, but it does help all these Black Lives Matter and Antifas and all these people that are tearing these liberal cities down. You know, they need to be stopped. And Trump says, just call me, I'll stop them in 30 minutes. And he is really on the ball. He doesn't fool around. Let's find one more. VA town remains at-ready statue from Charlottesville, Virginia. A crowd cheered Saturday as workers in Charlottesville removed, this is a liberal crowd there, a Confederate statue near the side of a violent white nationalist rally. They're talking about that rally a few years back. The removal of a bronze figure of a Confederate soldier known as At Ready, that's A-T, Ready, R-E-A-D-Y, is seen in Charlottesville as a milestone in eliminating divisive symbols of the Civil War. The Washington Post reported that the process of removing the statue began Saturday morning as workers affixed straps to the 900-pound statue to prepare it to remove it from its base. A crowd of about 100 people cheered behind metal barricades as the figure was lifted from its post and lowered to the ground. The statue has been outside the Almera, or amid the coronavirus pandemic, some wore blue Union Civil War caps and danced to music broadcast by a local radio station. The cheerful scene was in stark contrast to the violence that united the right rally on August 12, 2017. And it just says, there's anyone that's white that has a rally, they're deemed white supremacist. But if you're black and you're out there, then you're Black Lives Matter. Okay, this is just wanted to put that there. Trump has got a 10-year sentence out there by executive order, as far as I can understand. He said that in his speeches. If you're tearing a statue down illegally, and then you got a 10-year prison sentence if they catch you. So let's stop the law. You don't hear as much about these statues coming down, especially from these mobs. There's Black Lives Matter groups and all of them. They slowed that down a lot because these cameras have really started picking them up. This facial recognition stuff they have now, they usually can pick them up and get their address and just go pick them up. So back to you there, Jesse, KG4ZXZ, I believe, N4RQ in Liberty Net.
Okay, Mr. Larry, thank you, sir, and you had great comments, and I like them stories. We have a president that's sticking up for our history, our country, and our people, and that's what we need on Election Day. And I'll say it again, we need everybody to get 5 people at least that's never voted before to go to the ballots. So that's my challenge to everybody out there, to get 5 people to get out there and vote that's never been voting before. So, all right, let's take it down. Let's do a quick call. I'm going to see if he's still listening. K4HXY, Mr. Tim out of Florida, are you still with us? Okay, I'm not hearing nothing. Mr. Bill, you will have the deck, and then I guess we'll take it down to Mr. Bill out of Michigan. So, KO4FE, Mr. Bill, you have the podium, sir.
Okay, KG4ZXC and the Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, well, the good news just keeps rolling in. Here's a headline from Rasmussen Reports. Trump takes first lead. President Trump has now edged to a 1-point lead over Democratic nominee Joe Biden in the latest Rasmussen Reports weekly White House Watch survey. While statistically insignificant, it is the first time Trump has been ahead. The new national telephone and online survey finds the president with 47% to 46% lead over Biden among likely U.S. voters. So anyway, says the race has narrowed over the past 2 weeks. Biden had a 2-point lead last week, but that survey marked the first time Trump had edged above 45% over the past 2.5 months. Prior to this week, Biden had bested Trump in every weekly survey since White House Watch began at the beginning of July. So anyway, looks like Trump's on the upswing. Here's another article. Now, you know, we all know that double standards are just epidemic among the liberals and the left, but hypocrisy also is up there, even with double standards. Listen to this one. This is from NPR News, not to be confused with National Public Radio. Anyway, headline, with violent crime on the rise in Minneapolis, city council asks, where are the police? The meeting was slated at a as a Minneapolis City Council study session on police reform, but for much of the two-hour meeting, council members told Police Chief Madaria Arredondo that their constituents are seeing and hearing street racing, which sometimes results in crashes, brazen daylight carjackings, robberies, assaults, and shootings. And they ask Arredondo what the department is doing about it. Residents are asking, where are the police, said Jamal Osman, newly elected council member of Ward 6. He said he's already been inundated with complaints from residents that calls for police aren't being answered. That is the only public safety option they have at the moment, MPD. They rely on MPD, and they are saying they are nowhere to be seen, Osman said. Just months after leading an effort that would have defunded the police department, city council members at Tuesday's work session pushed Chief Madario Arredondo to tell them how the department is responding to the violence. The number of reported violent crimes like assaults, robberies, and homicides are way up compared to 2019, according to MPD crime data. Well, who would have guessed that? More people have been killed in the city in the first 9 months of 2020 than were slain all of last year. Property crimes like burglaries and auto thefts are way up. Incidents of arson have increased 55% over the total at this point in 2019. For his part, Arredondo told city council members that the department has instituted several measures, including adding more officers to patrol and investigative duties and cracking down on robberies. But council members told Arredondo that residents are hearing a different message from officers. Council President Lisa Bender, who was among those leading the call to overhaul the department, suggested that officers were being defiant. Her constituents say officers on the street have admitted they're purposely not arresting people who are committing crimes. Well, can you blame them? They arrest somebody, and the person resists arrest, and they risk having their whole career ruined. Anyway, continuing, this is not new, Bender said, but it's very concerning in the current context. So anyway, it's going on. The liberals are now complaining there's not enough police. Where a month or two previously, they wanted to get rid of the police. I mean, these people, it never stops with them. They're never satisfied. You arrest criminals, they scream police brutality. You don't arrest them, and they're screaming about that. I'll tell you, it's unbelievable, these people. And they don't need, there's no sense of irony or hypocrisy with them. They'll say one thing and then turn around and say the opposite. So anyway, Jesse, thanks for running the net tonight. Glad to hear all the check-ins, and the band seems to be just now fading, but I'm hearing everybody. So anyway, 73s to everyone that checked in. Thanks for running the net. We'll see you guys Saturday night. KG4ZXC Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Okay, Bill, yeah, we caught all that. I did anyway. Bob, did you catch all that?
I still copy, but the band is starting to peter out. Over.
Okay, Roger, Bob. Well, we'll make this the final 73 round. I'm going to send it down to, I'm going to check and see if the guy from New Jersey's in there, and then I'll send it over to Bill. So, KAMFR, you on the deck, stand by. N2, Quebec, Foxtrot, Victor, Tom out of Jersey, you still in there?
Okay, hearing nothing. So, Mr. Bill from Michigan, K8MFR,
what you got for us tonight on the 73 round?
Okay, roger that. Net Control, this is KE8MFR, Bill from Michigan. I'm just going to say that the Democrat media complex has a new mission. It's to distract our attention from President Trump's incredible, and me do being incredible, progress on both economic and foreign policy. The Bureau of Labor Statistics recently announced that there's another historic month of job growth as the economy added 1.4 million jobs in August. And it was the fourth best month of job growth on recording dating back to 1939, beaten out only by the preceding 3 months. As a result, the country's unemployment rate dropped 8.4% from its post-pandemic rate of 14.7%. Recall that back in April, Congressional Budget Office forecast a 16% unemployment rate for the third quarter. By historic measures, by any measure, really, this is a remarkable resurgence. Basically, based on recent data, the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta's GDP Dow forecast model increased its prediction for third quarter GDP growth to 30.8%. That would be the highest number on record dating back to 1947. And again, likely, again, ever, probably ever. And of course, this is all on top of the news about the Trump administration's historic steps towards peace in the Middle East. First, it was the United Arab Emirates and Israel making peace. Then the Serbia and Kosovo agreed to normalize economic relations with Kosovo, and mostly it was a Muslim nation, recognizing Israel and Serbia moving its embassy to Jerusalem. Then Bahrain and Israel agreed to normalize relations. Despite protestations from the Palestinians, the Arab League refused to condemn Israel in the United Arab Emirates deal. Saudi Arabia agreed to let Israeli commercial aircraft fly over its territory. As a result, the president received two nominations for Nobel Peace Award. Seriously, if Obama or Clinton were president, the calls for a Nobel would be deafening. So with the most endemic and economic comeback in U.S. history and unprecedented progress towards peace in the Middle East, what did the liberal media establishment choose to cover? Just hours before the release of the U.S. in the official BLS reporting on Friday morning, the Atlantic ran a story based on anonymous sources alleging that President Trump disparaged fallen U.S. soldiers during the 2018 trip to France. The claim was absurd. Officials and staffers were with the president on a journey and actually willing to identify themselves, emphatically challenging the story. Even well-known Trump antagonist John Bolton debunked the Atlantic's ridiculous account, and ridiculous is the kind of way to describe it. Realizing that the casting doubt on the president's patriotism was a losing battle, on Sunday, the corporate press moved on to another smear campaign just in time to hijack Labor Daily news coverage. In a lengthy essay, the New York Times blasted President Trump for allegedly being inconsistent with his approach towards China while building up Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden as some sort of born-again anti-China hawk. As the Times been asleep for the last 4 years, it was President Trump's national security strategy in 2017 that declared the great power competition, chiefly with China, as a priority mission of American foreign policy. Since then, the American administration has used every tool of national influence to grapple with Beijing over a variety of contentious issues, including China's flagrant violation of international trade rules, economic imperialism, and aggressive military extensions, all in the effort to repair a damage caused by policies that Biden enthusiastically supported for decades. Obviously, you see what Trump has done and what Biden has been involved in. And if anyone is obviously not wanting to vote for Trump and vote for Biden, you are sending this country in a downward spiral and something that we will never recover from. So the Trump campaign is something that is going to shoot us towards the new, well, I'm going to go back to net control.
Keep turning it back to you there.
Okay, thank you, Larry, and I appreciate you being angry. Thanks there, Bill, and yeah, the band is shifting around, very good, and fine comments all the way around. Thank you for joining us here tonight, Bill, and come back and see us Saturday night. We're here from 2200 to whenever we shut down. So, Mr. Bill, out of the state of Michigan, KEAMFR. God bless you, sir, and thank you for being here tonight with us here on the Living. This is KG4ZXC, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you guys for checking in tonight. Dale Ryan, Mr. Bob, out of Ohio, N4 MIC, out of Georgia. N4ROT, Mr. Larry, always a pleasure, sir, and still a great thing off here. K4HXY, Mr. Tim out of Florida. KL4FE, Mr. Bill, God bless you too, sir. Thanks for all your input. N2QFG, Mr. Tom out of New Jersey, and K8MFR, Mr. Bill out of Michigan. You know, I like to sum it up tonight, and we appreciate each and every one of you guys. Donald Trump is the only chance we have to save this country from whatever tyranny is in store for us. So everybody get out and vote, stay vigilant, and God bless America. And we all keep our president in our prayers and for everything that he's doing and what he has done. So, with that being said, this is KG4ZXC, and I'll shut down the Liberty Net at 11:55 p.m. on 9/16/2020, and 73s each and every one of you. And I appreciate thanks to our founding father of the Liberty Net, Mr. Vic. W1WCR, God bless you wherever you're at, sir, and I hope you're doing well. Into IRJ, Mr. Marty, our net manager. Thank you, Miss Laura, for putting up with him. Into JTTF, thank you. And with that being said, and good night to all the ships at sea, as Vic always says. This is KG4ZXC, and signing off.
Thank you, Jesse. KG4ZX in the sea. Thank you, thank you. 73s to all the participants. This is KHLY.
Next time, KEMFR 73.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bob. God bless you, sir. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Roger, roger.
Someone else, thanks for being there, too. Yes, I was going to say, you did a great job. Thanks for doing the net. Enjoy it. Always enjoy it. You're sounding great down here tonight, by the way. And the band is really quiet down here tonight for me, so I've really enjoyed it. Mr. INE, he's usually in there, among others, but didn't hear him in tonight, so I missed him in for a while. Okay.
Larry, I don't know how you do it barefoot, but you are 20 over,
in Ohio, and Jesse is in the noise. So N4ROQ, looks like you might get a little wet, so batten down the hatches. We'll look forward to you on Saturday and tell us how the storm was. Over.
It'll be fine. We'll watch out. There's maybe a little rain tomorrow, they said, or tonight and tomorrow. But mainly in the higher elevation, such as the Smokies and around. But we'll see. We might can take just a little. We don't want all this soaking that's going on out there. But I think it's going to have a storm surge that comes way back in there. Yeah,
I'm
on the land there, so I hate that for all the people
around
the coast, but I bet they get it.
Well, take care. I don't know what kind of a signal I'm giving you down there in Tennessee, but you're 30 over here in Ohio. Jesse kind of petered out, and I know he's got an amp, and so did Bill, but you're still booming in. I don't know how you do it. Over.
Yeah, I'm running 2 radio there. So I need to get one of my amps hooked up, I guess. I'm getting that week, I need something else.
Well, I'm running on this strange little remote thing that I put together, so I'm only pushing 200 myself instead of my 600 that I do from the house. But you're sounding great up here through that remote.
Oh, hey, you're 20 over. 20 over, so that's pretty daggone good. This radio is, it's not real stingy, and it's not real, it's not real flexible either, so you're doing great, doing a good job.
Amazing. The band has just really been weird. I've been getting a lot of, on the VHF and UHF repeaters, when the signal's off, I'm getting towns that are 90, 100, 110 miles away. So the band's really doing some weird things, especially, I think, because of that smoke. So 73s, Larry, it's a pleasure to talk to you. N4ROQ, KAJLY.
Okay. Thank you. There was a question I was going to ask you, Bob, and that escaped me. But just remember that Palladies guy, David, P-A-U-L-I-D-E-S, on Coast to Coast AM, he's written some books about missing people, especially in the national parks. If you got any time you want to research that a little bit, it's very, very interesting. A lot of people are missing, and they've seen them just maybe go around the corner or something, look around, and they're gone, and they'll look for weeks and weeks and weeks and never find them. And the dogs won't track them. They won't go after whatever taking place. They won't track the person. So there's something weird going on there. So I know you like that kind of stuff. This guy's a former law enforcement officer, David is, and I hadn't bought one of his books, but I've been looking on the internet about the cases and things that have been happening, listening to him on Coast to Coast AM, and he's talking about UFOs and Bigfoot and mountain men, and the animals aren't doing it because they're finding these people. And, like many, many miles away from where they were lost, and they're not got any of their clothes on, and all this kind of crap. So, and most of them they don't find. So, and they look for them. So hard to pinpoint what it is. It could be a combination of a lot of things, but it's all over the U.S. and the world there, Bob.
Well, one question, are the people alive when they find them? And in my area, the Cahoga Valley National Park is the busiest national park in the United States, busier than Yellowstone. And it's that way because of all the trails, and we have a thing called the Cahoga Valley Railroad, so they count all the people that ride the railroad all through the year and into the winter months, because we do a... they do Lolly the Trolley, and in the winter months they do the Polar Bear Express. So are these people found alive? Over.
No, most of them are dead. A lot of them they don't find, most of them. So And they find them around, this is some of the things I remember, they find them around a lot of rocks, if they find them. And usually there'll be the last one, like in a group that's walking somewhere, and that last one is like a hunter. They'll get that last one, and they'll turn around looking, they're gone. And they usually don't find them. And the ones they do find are usually dead, and they're usually got snowshoes or the rest of all of their clothes off. Let's see what else I can remember. Even experienced people with guns, you know, like the hunters and all, are doing the same, finding them the same way. And the Park Service will not work with this Pallades guy and anyone else that's investigating. They don't want to turn loose with any information or autopsies, and they will to some of the family members. But it's not animals that's doing it, because they're not all tore up, you know, and eat up and all that stuff. Most of the time, there's, don't think there's any or maybe few marks on them, if they do find them. And the dogs won't track them. That's like something that's, you know, they won't track these people. And you know that these dogs are great at tracking. They bring these great tracking dogs in, and they will not go after the scent. They will not track these people. So there's something definitely happening that's, you know, that's really need to find out what it is. A lot of people are missing, and, you know, the Park Service is not letting us out. So, just remember that, and I don't think I'd go on my eye control now, even with two AK-47s. There's just too much happening there. So back to you, Bob.
Well, that's interesting. I have a good friend that's a National Park Service Ranger. He's also a U.S. Marine, so we kind of have a common bond. So I think he's back from deployment. I will try to touch base with him before Saturday if I can, and see if he can shed any light on the QT with me. Over.
Sounds good. Hey, yeah, let me know if he lets anything out.
There was a boy, a young boy that ended up missing down here years ago, and they looked for him for months. And they sent a team of, I can't remember back then, of the Green Berets or Navy SEALs or whoever back at that time, and they couldn't find him either. And so they might have found one shoe, and I'm not sure if it was his or not, I don't think. I can't remember now, but and they've had other things, have a lot of other missing people, especially the park that you mentioned out there, or Yellowstone, I believe. A lot of people being missing out there. So just Google Pallades, P-A-U-L-I-D-E-S, David Pallades, and he's on Coast to Coast AM a lot, and I interview him, and he goes over a lot of these cases, and he goes over all this stuff that's unusual. Found among rocks, dogs won't track them, way away from where they should be, going across rivers, and, you know, they're almost impassable. We'll find them on the other side of a river. A lot of stuff that shouldn't be is happening, you know, so that's just a few of the things that I mentioned, so a lot of weird stuff going on.
Well, I will try to hook up with that ranger. As I said, he deployed to Afghanistan. He was taking a flag over there to sign it in honor of my son. But I'll see if he's back and see if I can find out. And if I do, I'll let you know on Saturday. So with that being said, 73s, good evening. Stay safe through that storm. N4ROQ, K-A-J-O-Y.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Well, it's just the ban, I guess, a lot on this freak that's increasing signal strength. Sometimes I have a pretty good signal, and sometimes when the ban's terrible, I do not. So I guess on average, appreciate the flowers that I'm still getting out, all right? I need to get a little bit of power behind us here, and it'll help also. So thank you, Bob and Jesse, and you guys, I'll stand by. There might be some other people want to talk, and I'll stand by, and for one, thank you. Good to hear you.